We're rounding the last part of our family series, but I'm taking us to a family called the nation of America. We have come from many different backgrounds to forge this great nation that we serve in, we live in, we love in, we worship in. And this morning on Memorial Day weekend, I just want us to be reminded that we remember the very things that God is doing in our lives. And also with this remembrance, I want us to be reminded that the enemy hates us. He wants us to bring calamity upon us. He wants us to bring, he wants us to experience destruction and difficulty and hardship and pain. And this morning, what I want us to be reminded over and over and over again, God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has a plan for this church, and God has a plan for this nation. I will tell you, as a nation, we have fallen deaf to the voice of God. As a nation, we have turned ourselves away from God and turned ourselves towards idle chatter and idle gods. And this morning, as we are going to look at a portion of Scripture, I want us to be reminded that God, who is sovereign, continues to do his work in and through the life of his followers. Memorial Day is a time when we pause to remember those that have given their life for the freedoms that we experience here this morning in our church. 1 week after Pearl Harbor attack, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that enjoy forget in time that others had to die in order that we win them." Freedom is never free. It always is bought with the blood of a patriot. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to be reminded that the lives of the men, women that have given their lives and then have gone on to be with the Lord have given us a foundation by which we need to continue to live our life in freedom. The biggest battle we as Americans face today is the battle of the very soul of our nation. We see it all around us. The erosion of moral decay. The greed that has happened within our nation. And it doesn't matter if a Republican or a Democrat is sitting in the Oval Office. We as a nation have turned away from God. And we as Christ followers must direct our nation back to hearing the voice of God. We've got to get to the point that we no longer allow the norms of our society to dictate how we believe and what we believe. We must let the Word of God tell us what we believe and why we believe the things we believe. We must turn back to God. We must turn back to His Word. We must turn back to prayer. We must turn back to the power of the Holy Spirit and let God be the God of this great nation once again. Amen. This needs to happen, folks. And it begins with people like you, people like me, people like us that realize that God has called us into a battle. He's called us into a war. He's called us into an army that needs to fight and push back the darkness and let the light of Christ be seen. Oh, I've come to preach today. Amen. I have come to preach today. I see in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, that there was a king that turned away from God. His father did the same thing. And as both generations, his father and then he himself, turned away from God, what we saw is the Babylonian Empire crumbled under their disobedience. Without looking at God as the one that was directing their path, without looking to God as the source of light, the source of purpose, the source of direction, they turned towards themselves, greed and selfishness, and created this, what they felt was invincible nation, all to find out it crumbled under their leadership. Daniel chapter 5 is where I want to take us this morning. Daniel chapter 5, I was checked last week because since I've been here, a lot of you notice that I don't necessarily bring a Bible to the pulpit. And it's not because I don't use the Word of God. I do. I just print it out in my notes, and I read it from there because I've got 55-year-old eyes. And I've yet to go to the doctors to get glasses. And yet, Here they are. So I'm going to start carrying God's word, even though I carry God's word in my heart, and I even print it on my portfolio. I'm going to start carrying God's word because what I want us to do is I want us to understand that this is God speaking into us. It's not just a narrative. It's not just 66 books that we look at and say, wow, that was a really good book. This book speaks into our lives. This book is life-changing. This book is God's word to his children, and we need to hear and heed what God's word says. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 5, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink with them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the kings and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, drank with them. As they drank the wine, they praised the God of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was frightened that his knees knocked together under his legs gave way. The king called out for his enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought to him in these wise men of Babylon. Therefore, anyone who reads the writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple, and I will give a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, and they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar began even more terrified, and he grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. Down to verse 17. Then Daniel, voice of God, answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." Verse 24. This is what the inscription was written: "Mene, mene, tekel, person." And this is what it means: "Mene, God has remembered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you will be weighed on the scales and found wanting. Persons, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then at that, Belshazzar commanded Daniel, with clothed in purple, a gold chain wrapped around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, king of Babylonians was slain, and Darius the Medes took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Unfortunately, this story is not a great story. It's a story of caution. It's a story of warning. It's a story to remind us what happens when we get our eyes off of God and we get our eyes on ourselves. It's what happens when a nation turns from God and turns within and tries to find satisfaction and plunder within themselves rather than following God. You see that writing, that phrase that says, "see the writing on the wall"? That's something that we even use today. Oh, I saw the writing on the wall. And usually that phrase means beware, warning. There's something going desperately wrong in your life. This is what was happening. There was a warning. There was a hand that was writing on the wall in plaster right by the lampstand. And it was just saying, "Mene, mene, tekel, person. Beware, beware, beware. Something is going to happen." And surely enough, it did. The king lost his life that night. Its nation crumbled because they got their eyes off of God and got their eyes on themselves. So this morning, I want us to look at four cautions that we as a nation, we as a people of God, need to look at in our own lives. And we need to understand this morning that God wants us to rise up and become this generation of fearful God leaders in our homes, in our community, in our nation, and in our world. First of all, the first danger that I see that is here in Daniel chapter 5 that's even present in our lives today, the danger of losing all sense of remembrance. There's a danger when you start forgetting about what we should remember. That's why I did this board this morning. I didn't want us to forget the men and women that gave their lives for our freedom. You see, in the life of Belshazzar, he forgot the foolishness of his father. You see, Nebuchadnezzar did some pretty crazy things. Not only did he take things from the temple that did not belong to him, he even did things because if someone didn't do it his way, he found punishment. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It was Nebuchadnezzar that put them into the fiery furnace. It was Nebuchadnezzar that took pride upon himself. And in his leadership, rather than trusting God, he trusted himself. And pride says in the scriptures, always comes before a fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. And what was happening is Belshazzar was not looking at the history of his father and saying, I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to change. I want to be different. He kind of just lined up and did the very same thing as his father. The beautiful thing about Nebuchadnezzar is he ended strong. Yes, he went crazy for a while. He ate grass like a cow. He went mad for a season. But at the end of his life, he came back and understand who was God, and he needed to put his trust in that God. Unfortunately, his son only saw the foolishness of his father rather than the wisdom of his father. Belshazzar was pretty full of himself, even to the point that he took the sacred cups from the temple and used it for a common wine glass for he, his wives, and his concubines. America used to be openly godly. We used to openly proclaim the good news of God. Etched in the numerous monuments all over our nation capital, it reminds us that in God we trust. It's carved in the granite of many of our government buildings this morning that we hold near and dear to us. It's even on our currency that we trust in God. But like Babylonian, we lost our way. We moved away from letting God be God in our nation, and we've moved him out as kind of a side piece within our nation. President Woodrow Wilson said it best, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today. We must remember where we came from. We must remember why we came to this new world in the first place. We must remember what price was paid for our freedom. Not just for the men and women that gave us religious freedom, but for our Savior Jesus Christ, who died that we might live. We must never forget the price of freedom. In many ways, we have forgotten our past. We have forgotten what made us a great nation. We have forgotten what produced this compulsion for people to leave what was familiar and move into something unfamiliar. We forget what it took for people to risk their lives so that we would experience freedom of religion. To the north of us and to the south of us, Canada and Mexico were founded by in the northern part of our neighbors, the French, and they pursued it for gold's sake. In the southern, it was the Spaniards that wanted to discover Mexico for gold's sake. But America, what we wanted founded, what we were in search of, was religious freedoms. The opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth with no reservations whatsoever. That's what we founded our government upon, our nation upon. And yet this morning I wonder, have we, like the north and the south of us, only gone after the goal? Rather than searching and wanting God to be the center of our nation, have we replaced it with gold? The pursuit of materialism, the hopes of greater things in our pockets rather than in our spirit and in the Spirit of God. So we've lost the danger of losing the sense of remembrance anytime we move away from the things that this nation was founded on: religious freedom, a new life, a new hope in Jesus Christ. The second thing I see is the danger of losing all sense of reality. All sense of reality. I'll tell you, I'm a realist. I tend to have an optimistic swing to me more than a pessimistic swing, but I'm a realist. I look at life real. Well, here, Belshazzar lost the sense of reality. What was he thinking to host a party of 1,000 people, all the while around his fortress of Babylon, his enemies were camped out looking to destroy this great nation? I think it's interesting that Belshazzar may have gotten a little too cocky. You see, these walls were 60 miles in circumference. They were thick. They were tall. They almost looked invincible. But what was happening is Belshazzar was thinking about the enemy outside the walls, never realizing that the enemy could be inside the walls as well. As I said earlier, pride comes before destruction, becomes before a great fall. And you see, Belshazzar was not living in reality. He was thinking, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll continue to live because we're the Babylonians. We're great. Nothing will happen to us. I think as a nation, we got a little bit like that in the past, until 9/11 hit us, until things like terrorism came upon us in the most unlikely ways. I think we've had our wake-up call. I think we've had our church, nation, America, wake up. We must come back as a nation under God. We see that in the life of Belshazzar, he lived as if he was invincible, that he would never die, but he'd live forever. I think it's interesting that even today, folks, as I'm getting ready to go to Haiti this next week, I think we, if we're not careful, can have an arrogance about us as Americans that somehow God will only use us, America, to reach lost world for Jesus Christ. And that's not true. Back in the time of the Babylonians, what was happening here is Belshazzar thought only the Babylonian nation will rise up and do great things. But can I remind you, prior to the superpowers of the Babylonian Empire, there was a superpower called the Israelites. And the Israelites had as their motto, "In God we trust." And then they turned from God and they were destroyed. The Babylonians turned from God and they were destroyed. How about us? If we turn from God, what will be our plight? What will be our outcome? What will be said of us in the history books in the future? We've won all the world wars. The Cold War is over, and it still seems like we're the superpower. And yet, unless we get back to the things of God, we too will fall in ruin. Just as Daniel came and gave a warning to the king as well as the Babylonian Empire, God gives us a warning this morning that we need to be on alert, for our enemy is real, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The third danger I see is the danger of losing all sense of restraint. I think that the Old Testament is polite when they talk about concubines. Really, this was just extra women given to the king for his pleasure. Maybe one or two kids would be birthed out of that, but really it was just for sexual pleasure. And I'll tell you, we as a nation have fallen away from godly principles and moral upright standings, and we substitute that for immoral things. Look at the television. Look at the area of our media today. Look at the internet. Look at the multi-billion dollar industry called pornography in the United States of America. We have lost the sense of reality. We have lost the sense of restraint. We must come back to God. We must repent of our sin. We must turn back to Him and allow Him to be the Lord of this great nation. Moms and dads, we need to bring back the foundation of God's word into our home, into our marriage, into our community, and into our nation so that the world will see that God is greater than our greatest sin. I think the danger of losing restraint is simply that we just tolerate. And I think I read something very interesting. What we tolerated yesterday is what we'll live by today, and what we will tolerate today is what we will live by tomorrow. Many of you that have lived a journey on this side of heaven have seen a lot of change in your life. You've seen a lot of compromise. You've seen a lot of sidestepping. You've seen a lot of, that would never happen in my life. Could you imagine when, say you're 75 years old. Can you imagine at the age of 10 if someone said, and someday when you grow up, they will have same-sex marriages in America? You would go, pfft. No. Again, what we tolerate in the past will be our present reality, and what we tolerate today will be our future. Oh, God, help us to return back to the living Word of God. To return back to God, to return back to His precepts, to return back to His truth, and let the foundation of our nation be back where it needs. One nation under God. And then finally, there's a danger of losing all sense of respect. You see, when we get to the point of our lives, much like the king, he forgot to remember, he lost a sense of reality. He had no sense of restraint. Then you move to this idea of you losing the sense of respect. There was a crumbling culture all over Babylon. Nothing was sacred to them anymore. They had abandoned all the absolutes. There was no more restraints. There was no more respect for anything that was sacred. It was just one big party in Babylon. Then an amazing thing happened. God showed up. And with a hand, he wrote, warning, 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 warning. And Daniel spoke up and shared the word. I'll tell you, the man of God is never invited to a party. Because the man of God at a party is kind of a downer. If you're eating, drinking, and be merry, for tomorrow you may live and live hearty and live wild and very promiscuous in the area of your life, what will happen, folks, is you don't want the man of God. You don't want the voice of God around because it convicts you. It makes you feel like, I shouldn't be doing that. It makes you feel guilty. Convicted is a better term. It makes you feel convicted because you know you ought not to be doing the things you're doing. But when the writing came on the wall and no enchanters, no diviners could even interpret it, Daniel shows up, the voice of God shows up, and he says, warning, king, warning, nation, ruin is coming your way, wake up. And it was in that voice that the nation had a choice to listen or not listen. And even though Daniel spoke that message to the king, the outcome was still the same. On that evening, his life was taken from him. But I think the message that Daniel gave is a message that we need to apply to our lives this morning. And it's a simple three-point message. First of all, a word about power. Daniel reminded Belshazzar, the king, that King Nebuchadnezzar's world of power came not from himself, but came from God. Second of all, there was a word about pride. Daniel reminded that the king Nebuchadnezzar lost everything because he let the pride of his reign get the best of him until he repented and came back to God. And then the third word was about punishment. King Nebuchadnezzar was punished. King Belshazzar was punished because they did not realize that the God of the universe must be the God of the nation, must be the God of our lives. You see, when we forget things, we become blind like the Babylonians did, and we start realizing that God of the universe is trying to get a hold of our attention. If we do not heed his call, we will receive the punishment of our foolish decisions. My call to us this morning in closing, church, those that are Christ followers, is be on guard, for the enemy is forever prowling after us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He wants to take our families down. He wants to take our church down. He wants to take our community down. And he wants to take this great nation down. But like Daniel, the voice of God, we must stand up and push back the darkness, push back the enemy with the power of Christ. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember. We remember the God that gave us the freedom that we have this morning to worship him, and we recommit ourselves to be all that he would have us to be. Will you stand with me? God, this morning, your church rises, not just to sing the closing song, but we rise to say, God, not on my watch will I let my nation fall apart. Not on my watch will I let my community fall apart. Not on my watch will I let the church fall apart. Not on my watch will I let my family and my marriage fall apart. I surrender it to you, God. I raise it up to you and say, God, be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of this great nation. We commit ourselves to doing the work of the Lord until he comes. We dedicate ourselves to be all that you would have us to be for the honor and glory of your kingdom. And God, when the glory comes, we don't hold on to it. We give it back to you. For you are the one that deserves all praise and honor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.